Grace, peace, and mercy to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text is the Holy Gospel. Please be seated. Dear brothers and sisters of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, this is what happens when I get asked questions about Jesus. We always want to know more about his earthly life, especially when he was a boy. We want to know all the dicey details, don't we? The trivial minutiae. Like, you know, what was his favorite meal? Or did he ever get the flu or the cold? Did he have a girlfriend? Yeah, the girls always ask me that question. Did he help do the dishes? That's another question the girls always ask. Did he learn to make cabinets, tables, and chairs with Joseph? That's what the boys always ask. Did he ever get his hair cut? Speaking of hair, what color was it? Etc., etc., etc. Now, St. Luke gives us what you need to know from Christ's early life. He just gives you one account, sandwiched between his birth and the beginning of his ministry, when he is 12 years old. Only Luke records this. Jesus as a 12-year-old boy. And Luke tells us what is most important for you to know, what is vital and what is central, what is salvationally significant for you to hear. What in the world could that be? Well, quite simply, I can sum it up with one word. The word, obedience. Not your obedience, good grief. That's where we're all miserable failures. Just examine your life according to the Ten Commandments and you'll see just how true that is. For example, in Commandments 1 through 3, God wants your heart, he wants your mouth, he wants your ears. In other words, he wants your faith, faith that then prays, and then faith that receptively listens to his word with your eardrums and heart. In Commandments 4 through 10, God wants you to love those with whom you live and work and play. But as we know, we fail so miserably in that regard. Our heart trusts ourself, and so we only love ourselves. We live as gods to ourselves. That's how curved in on ourselves we are. And brothers and sisters, that's precisely why Jesus comes into the equation. 12-year-old Jesus is the Savior of disobedient sinners. Luke preaches the obedience of a 12-year-old. From cradle to grave, Jesus walks the way of obedience in your place. Vicarious obedience, substitutionary obedience. What Jesus does perfectly, namely obedience, he then gives to you as his gift to you after he does something. What is that? It's after he takes all of your disobedient sin in his body on the cross and gets damned with it all. Again, this is the sweet swap of salvation, the blessed exchange that saves all of us. Jesus takes your bad, your disobedient sin. He gives you his good, his perfect, total, and complete obedience. That's one of Luke's biggest points. And all the rest of the Old Testament makes this clear as well. So it is Jesus in his obedience. In this story as a 12-year-old, Jesus perfectly keeps the first table of the law, Commandments 1 through 3. Remember, he keeps the Passover. He does this as true man. And there he fears, loves, and trusts his Father above all things. In keeping the Passover, he uses his mouth and his ears properly, the way that God intended for human beings. Jesus hears God's word, God's promises. He prays, he praises, he gives thanks. Perfectly obedient, Jesus is. His heart, his mouth, and his ears are faithed. It's no wonder then that we find him where? In his Father's house. Faith before his Father then naturally leads to his life of loving obedience to his mother Mary and his stepfather Joseph. The text says, then he went down to Nazareth with them and was submissive, or another way to translate it, was obedient to them. Here Jesus keeps the second table of the law, 4 through 10 commandments. So there you have it. Jesus does what he says. He loves the Lord with all of his heart, soul, strength, and mind, and he loves his neighbor as himself. In that one little word, love, Or as Luke puts it, obedience. Jesus does the salvation job that you and I, as disobedient sinners, so desperately need. In this setting of obedience, brothers and sisters, we hear Jesus' first recorded words. In these words, God is, for the first time in Luke, expressly called Jesus' Father. In these words, Jesus expresses his mission and office. His life is to be a uniquely human life that is completely lived for God. A life that is in all its parts and in every aspect an act of the highest worship. What's the highest worship? Faith. Faith toward God, which then gives birth to fervent love for others. This is how man's life ought to have been, but never was since Adam's sin and his passing his sin to us all. Jesus tells Mary and Joseph, did you catch it in the text? He tells Mary and Joseph, after 3 days? What's that sound like? I must be in my Father's house. This is a divine must, the must of what it takes for Jesus to save all sinners, including you and me. Jesus is obedient in the place and for the salvation of everyone. Here Jesus begins his ministry of perfect obedience, and he does it as a 12-year-old. An obedience unto death, even death on the cross, Philippians 2. And here for the first time, Mary has a premonition of the sword that Simeon said would pierce her soul. 12-year-old Jesus as the Passover lamb is at the very place. He is at the very place where he will accomplish the new and the greater Exodus. He will do a Passover to end all Passovers. On the cross, he will give his body as the one and only sacrifice to atone for your sin. On the cross, he will offer his blood to appease his Father's wrath against you and every sinner. His Good Friday blood cleanses all sinners from their sins. This is what he does at Jerusalem, and he begins it at Jerusalem as a 12-year-old boy, at the very place where the Passover sacrifice will be fulfilled, God's house. In the flesh of 12-year-old Jesus, God is indeed graciously present with his people. He is the temple. Jesus is the temple who dwells among his people to be their Savior. Our Lord's answer to Mary is a salvation answer to those who have ears to hear. The text says that Mary didn't quite understand all of this yet, but she treasured all these things in her heart. 21 years later, back at where? Jerusalem. She would see with her very eyes what her 12-year-old boy, that day in the temple, what it meant when he said, I had to be, or I must be, in my Father's house. At 12, Jesus began his career of obedience unto death, death on the cross. And Mary's very soul was pierced by what happened on Good Friday. 33-year-old Jesus offered himself on the altar of the cross. He allowed himself to be brutally sacrificed, violently slaughtered, his body graveyard dead, his blood viciously shed, flowing like a tributary from his wounds. The epistle today put it this way, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Jesus knew that that was his Father's plan. The cross is God's wisdom, God's understanding for you to redeem you and win your salvation. And now that Jesus has risen from the dead, after 3 days he reigns. He dispenses the wisdom of God. And that wisdom is the promise that you are forgiven. That you are, as the epistle said, blessed in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. That God chose you in Christ before the creation of the world, predestined you to be adopted as his sons through Christ. This is the wisdom of God, that you know that. And it's done for you. His will and wisdom is to save you through his Son. And so Jesus bids you to come to the sacrament today. His crucified and risen body with the bread, his Good Friday and Easter Sunday blood with the wine, that very body and blood that he obediently sacrificed once and for all as the Passover lamb on the cross. Yes, he has brought you into his Father's house, God's house, and Jesus temples among you, bestowing you the forgiveness of Good Friday. And with that forgiveness is salvation. Brothers and sisters, thanks be to God for Christ's total and complete obedience for you and for your salvation. In the name of Jesus, amen.